The only thing certain in life is change. This is an adage oft repeated. The first time I heard it, I was at a visitor center in Cape Cod with my Aunt Martine, who lived there, and either with my mother Jeannie or my married aunts, Ronan and Mary, who were often in loco parentis throughout my teen years and early 20s. We saw a short documentary about Cape Cod, and I remember time slowing down for a moment as the narrator's voice, and I pictured her as a tall, confident white lady with long brown hair, who I hope to grow into. The narrator's voice slowed down. You could tell she was professional. She was landing the plane. She said, "The only constant in Cape Cod is change." Wow, I thought to myself. Wow. And then I realized that maybe if you looked at the entire world, the entire existence, that, yeah, the only constant anywhere is change, which is kind of disturbing. It's kind of unsettling, but it's also kind of joyful. We Earthlings like routine. We like things to be predictable because, gosh darn, we need to turn our brains off and rest for a minute. But does the world stop changing? Or maybe we cannot wait for it to change because this reality right here in the year of our Lord 2025 is too much. Regardless of our desires, the reality that we confess as Jesus followers is that the only force in this world that does not change is God's love. As the author of the letter to the Hebrews puts it, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Scholars agree that the author of Hebrews was not Paul, for this author does not write in short sentences like Paul, nor does the author seem to know the Hebrew Bible in Hebrew, only in its Greek translation. And several points in this letter hinge on some of the ways that the Greek translation inaccurately portrays the Hebrew original. Furthermore, scholars agree that the community of Hebrews, quote unquote, addressed here, is not an exclusively Jewish community, but a mixed community of Jews and Gentiles, both who have heard about Christ and have formed a community. Here, at this table, we are all people who come and gather for community with one another, for deeper knowledge of ourselves, and for communion with God. St. Lydia's is a place that I know best exemplified by the liturgy of Waffle Church. When I preside at Waffle Church, Hallie always gives me a note to sing on that I feel like only I can hear, and her guitar playing helps my voice soar. In Waffle Church liturgy, we tell the story of this table in language that children, that anybody understands. We say, "No matter how you feel today, God's table is for you. No matter how you feel today, God's table is for you. God's table." We're going to get there, Debbie. You hold your horses. And this is how I have experienced St. Lydia's. This is how St. Lydia's admonishes, nay, encourages me to behave. Story time. One Sunday in June, I arrived for service rehearsal, but everyone else was later than me. What a blessing! I went to the back porch here because I needed some quiet. Actually, I needed to cry. As someone who has a lot of professional and personal experience in liminal spaces, in theaters, in places of worship, I knew that if there are tears just underneath your surface, they will fall, often around moments where eternity is invited to be physical, edible. In our case, And I knew that my tears about my own personal things were not the right thing to come up while I was presiding at this table. This table, the one here, the one there, the ones we make inside, this table is not about me. This table is not about you, or you, or any of you. This table is about us. It is always, first and foremost, about us. It is about the question, what will make us a more caring community together? What practices and rituals, what ways of behaving towards each other, of listening to each other, do we need to keep turning back to? Yes, we are all important. And no matter how you feel, this table is for you. And when I was writing this, as I was reflecting on saying goodbye to you as a community, on how to tell you what you mean to me, how I've had the space to grow and learn and take risks as your supply pastor. During this last year, I knew that I might cry and that would be okay. Because these tears are about what you mean to me as a community, not my own personal disappointments and griefs. If tears do come, they're because change, saying goodbye, is especially hard when you care and when you've been cared for. It has meant so much to come from St. Gregory's in San Francisco as a homesick visitor to St. Lydia's, and then to find a spiritual home here when everything was so new and uprooted in my first years of seminary. And then, in my first year of priesthood, to serve you as your presider and preacher so often. It has been an honor to see how St. Lydia's people make decisions and care for each other. It has been a joy. So, back to that day of my own personal woes in June. We all know that St. Lydia's is small. You cannot simply be alone at St. Lydia's, much as you try. As I lay myself down on these deck boards and let myself have a cry, I soon found myself staring up at two billies. Both of them offered me concern. What is this girl doing here? Our supply priest, our supply pastor, tears rolling down on a hot day, just staring up at the sky. They offered me listening ears. They offered me strong hugs. I think, and you guys can correct me if I am wrong, but I think it is very hard to cry alone at St. Lydia's, possibly impossible. The Billies did not try to fix my problems. They did not tell me that my problems were small. Instead, they let me know that I was not alone, that my tears were also their concern. And I don't mean to invoke that thief of joy comparison, but we all know that not every place is an okay place to cry in and make mistakes and take a deep breath and start again. But the places that are sacred. The places that are like that are where I want to be. The only constant is change and the love of God. If you'll indulge me, I would like to show you a little bit of Waffle Church liturgy. If you know it, sing or say the people's part. And if you don't, silence, listen. I want to end with it because how the author of the letter to the Hebrews ends with so many references to Hebrew scripture in the prose part, and then quoting Psalm 118, he does this in order to ground the community into what makes them them. At St. Lydia's, the community is best exemplified by this table. But this is no ordinary table, for you are invited to a celebration. You are invited to this special table. Is this our table?
No.
Is this the church's table?
No.
Is this my table?
No.
Oh, okay. Is it St. Lydia's table?
No.
It's God's table.
It's God's table.
It's God's table.
It's God's table.
How are you feeling today? Ooh, I'm feeling a lot of feelings. Shout it out. Sad, tired, angry, happy. You can shout it out.
Grateful.
Confused. Nice. Got a lot of feelings here. Maybe we're feeling quiet. No matter how you feel today, God's table is for you. We're doing this four times.
For you.
God's table is 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 for you.
And at St. Lydia's, this is what exemplifies the sacredness of this table. We come to it knowing that we all make it sacred. And at the end of the day, it is God's table. And God is known by love, by mutual love, Philadelphia, that is about caring for each other and feeding each other. It's about asking about another person's tears. This is how we know God. For in each and every day and age, despite changes upon changes that come too quickly, that feel like too much, too heavy to bear, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. We are here to serve Christ, to demonstrate love to each other by seeking the sacred in everybody. Not an easy task, in everybody. But God invites us to this table. And no matter how you feel today, no matter how you feel today, God's table is for you. Mm.